Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Sabbath Services. Last week, I gave a sermon entitled Guard Doctrine. And you're going to see why we need to do that. But first of all, let's cover just a couple of verses here to begin with. Let's come to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And here Jesus, one of the first things he tells them, when they want to know about the things at the time of the end. Verse 23. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or he is there, do not believe it. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and they shall present great signs and wonders in order to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Now, last night, Hannity on Fox News, who's kind of an independent Catholic, he said, the Pope is not infallible. True. Okay. I stand corrected. Donahue, the one who was the head of the Anti-Catholic Defamation League, said the Pope is not infallible. Okay. And Hannity agreed. And Hannity said, if the Vatican wants to spread the wealth around, how about using some of theirs? So, you know, they are one of the richest organizations in the world. Okay. And most of the countries that they have the majority in are not prosperous. I wonder why. All right. So what would he do, though, if there was a pope who called fire down from heaven? Would he change his mind? How many people would change their minds? A lot of them. A lot of them. Okay. Now, let's come back here to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, because I want to read something. And how the world has been set up. Now, I'm going to use a term that you will see when we watch this video, because I'm not going to speak for the whole time. This tells you what is going to happen, and I'm going to use the phrase, the gentleness of Satan to deceive you. How does he do that? We'll see that. We'll see that. Okay? So likewise, Paul says here in 2 Thessalonians, he says concerning the coming of Christ, verse 3, do not let anyone deceive you by any means. That means there are going to be many, 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 many means. Because that day will not come unless the apostasy has come first, and that is the whole worldwide rebellion against God. And the man of sin shall be revealed, the son of perdition. Hasn't showed up yet on the scene. But there are things that are coming ahead of his appearing. And it's going to be looking really, really good, because people today are not taught to think. And those who go to the churches in worldly Christianity operate mostly on emotion, and then personal instructions for your own life. And the thing that is missed out, and I just watched a video put out by the Living Truth Ministry, which is the Grace International successor to Worldwide Church of God. And they gave many, many testimonials as to why they did what they did. Not one scripture. Not one scripture. And when you have testimonials and you have emotion without proof, not once did they show what the sins were. So this is why it's going to at first be gentle. It's going to be a false love. It's going to be emotionally appealing. And we will see that. Now here is why that's going to happen. Okay? Because verse 9, it says, even the one who is coming is according to the inner working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness and those who are perishing because they did not receive the love of the truth. Now stop right there because you have to ask, what is the truth? Jesus said that the Father's word is the truth. The commandments of God are true. The laws of God are true. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. What is the spirit of Satan, the devil? The spirit of appealing emotional lies. And we will see that at its finest today, so that they might be saved. So in other words, no one is going to have any salvation unless you believe the truth of God. And Jesus said, remember when he was tempted by Satan, the devil? What was the first thing he said after the devil said, well, command these stones to be turned into bread? And, you know, what did Jesus say? Now, who was Jesus? He was the one who was the Lord God of the Old Testament. He's the one who created Adam and Eve. He was representative of what? All mankind. So when he said man, he was talking to himself because he was here in the flesh and talking to all humanity. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Correct? Yes, indeed. Now, let's see what happens here, verse 11. For this cause, because they believe the lie, God will send upon them a powerful deception that will cause them to believe the lie. So that all may be judged who did not believe the truth. And truth is expressed where? In the Word of God. And true doctrine with all the scriptures. Because we are going to see in the world and their Christianity, they've all been dumbed down to an emotional level. And if it sounds good, and if they feel good, they're going to go for it because God turned them over to a delusion. That's why guarding the doctrine is the most important thing. Because what is the first doctrine? Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being, isn't it? Doctrine is teaching? Yes, indeed. Did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in unrighteousness. Now what we are going to do, we are going to see a video with the Pope's message to Kenneth Copeland, or Copeland, I forget which, the Protestant Pentecostal minister, and at a ministerial conference. This is historical. Now it's been on YouTube, so there's no copyright on it. It's put out by the Seventh-day Adventist Amazing Facts, or Amazing Discoveries, rather. See, when you keep the Sabbath, you have a certain amount of knowledge. When you keep the holy days, you grow in knowledge and have some understanding of prophecy. While they are correct in pointing out what this shows, they say, this Amazing Discoveries say, that the second beast of Revelation 13 is the United States of America. See? So, what we're looking at is this. The only way that we are going to get the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, is to never, 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 never accept the traditions and teachings of men or women. Now, false prophets give true facts to deceive and lead away. That's what Ellen G. White has done. Now, you will see him quote Ellen G. White. Because, you see, if you're going to have a counterfeit, you've got to make it look as close to the truth as you can. Now, the further people are from the truth and been educated in emotionalism, which is what Pentecostalism is, okay? Now, you're going to be amazed at how this has come about. So at this time, we'll go ahead and take a pause. Now, I'm sure you were very surprised to know that this occurred. I didn't know it occurred until Ron Carey, our webmaster, sent it to me. And he said, this has got to be important. And I think it's very important. So we'll look at a couple of things here. Now, if you have any comments as we go along, let me know and we'll put those in. Let's come to Isaiah, the 30th chapter, and let's answer the question, how do people get to a point that they are ready to overthrow the truth when things like this come along? See, and neither the Pope, nor that Tony Palmer, nor Kenneth Copeland said, let us all get on our knees and return to God. It was return to Rome. See, nothing about God. And who was the Papa but the Pope, the Vicar of Christ. And when they say diversity is unity, we can all come together in spite of our doctrinal differences. All right. Let's see how people get into that kind of frame of mind. Verse 9, Isaiah 30. This can happen to any group that professes Christ, even the Church of God. Now, when it happened within the Church of God, and people don't understand why it happened, they look at the wrong thing. What does God correct for? He brings people to understand their sins, and then they must repent. And if after repeated things of not repenting, then God must judge. WCG was not overthrown because Herbert Armstrong said he was the only apostle on earth. It wasn't overthrown because some of the prophecies were not correctly understood. Do you think that the apostles back in the first century understood the prophecies? No. So, but to preach them so dogmatically as if that is the word of God, that's where the error came in. And then the other error was they did not preach the love of God or the grace of God. All of that was missing. So therefore, it was called a cult and was overthrown by these wonderful men who infiltrated, who were correctors from God, to destroy the WCG because they had turned their back on God. Now, here's how this kind of thing happens. Verse 9. Okay, let's go back to verse 8. Now go, write it before them in a tablet, and note it in a book. We got it. So that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. That's continuously all the way down to the end. that this is a rebellious people, lying children. They are children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things, speak to us smooth things, preach, or prophesy rather, illusions. And that's what we saw right here, the delusion. Go out of the way, turn aside out of the path, cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. And that's what they have done. Get rid of God. Thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you have despised this word. That's what they have done. Sabbath and holy days, oh, what a delusion that was. And trust in oppression and perversion and rely on them. Therefore, this iniquity shall be to you as a breach ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And he shall smash it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is smashed in pieces. He will not spare, so that there shall not be found in the fragments a shard to take fire out of the hearth or to take water out of the pit. Now that's what's going to happen to the whole world. See? Now, let's ask a couple of other questions that may be very important concerning this. Let's come here to Romans, the 16th chapter. And if you go through the New Testament, as you should, read how many warnings are there. How many examples are there? Romans 16, okay? Romans 16, and we see exactly what that is right in this presentation. Romans 16 and verse 17. Now I exhort you, brethren, to take note of those who are causing divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and shun them. How important is doctrine? And as he rightly pointed out there, Jesus said he did not come to bring peace, but a sword to divide a household against itself. Okay? Because these are the sort who are not serving our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own bellies. And that means their own way, their own purposes and everything. And are deceiving the hearts of the innocent by smooth talking and flattery. Isn't that what we have? Yes, indeed. We have this in the presentation there that we just saw. And you had it in worldwide. Flatteries, okay? That's why everyone who teaches needs to teach the Word of God so the brethren can grow, so we can all grow, and that we have a relationship with God the Father. Now, let me tell you a little point on Protestantism here, which is very interesting to understand. They emphasize Jesus, 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 Jesus. And they leave off what Jesus told us and emphasized. What is that? The Father. And not Papa in Romano. That is God the Father in heaven above. Okay? Now then, let's see what happens when that comes along. Come here to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. Now, it is absolutely amazing how that we have gone over these scriptures before, but there come certain events that just cement it in place and really make it stand out. And I thought that was a good observation that the man who represented the Pope look like the incarnation of Satan himself. Where did he get those smooth words? See, what's important? The agreement of men with smooth words to bring everybody back? are the words of Christ so we can be right with God the Father. That's why when people are taught not to think, when they are taught to react to emotion, when they're swayed by smooth talk, that was as smooth as could be, okay? But here is what will happen. Verse 13, 2 Timothy 3, verse 13. But wicked men and imposters shall become worse and worse. We're just seeing it, right? Deceiving others and being deceived themselves. That's what we saw on this presentation. And the spirit of Satan there to make them feel good. And when people operate on emotions and they feel good, they think they're right. Isn't that true? Yes, indeed. But as for you, continue in the things that you did learn and were assured of. Okay, come over here to chapter 4. This is quite a charge. This is, and I'm going to emphasize this at the conference, because not only for the elders, but all of the brethren are responsible to God. God the Father and Jesus Christ. And I'm also going to do a special study on the Trinity, because the Trinity is one of the first things that comes in with a deception. All right, chapter 4, verse 1. Now, this is quite a charge when you understand this. I charge you, Timothy, therefore, now this is to every minister, every teacher, in the sight of God. This is no passing statement. Even the Lord Jesus Christ, who is ready to judge the living and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom, preach the word. That is the word of God. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God, as we covered earlier. Be urgent in season and out of season. Convict, rebuke, encourage with all patience and doctrine. Oh, let's not talk doctrine. Doctrine divide. Doctrines are the teachings of God. So what they're saying, we're setting aside the teachings of God, and let's all hug each other, have tears for each other, the tears of joy. Amazing. And how many people go, look at all those people that were there. I didn't see one person, of course they wouldn't show it, get up and walk out because of what was happening. So when people are conditioned with smooth things, when people are conditioned with ideas of men, when people are taught not how to think, then that leaves an entrance for Satan to come in. And mark my words, you watch. It's going to be repeated again very, very soon. And I have not in years received as many things contra or against the Passover and unleavened bread as I have this year. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. All right. Here's what will happen when you do not have doctrine and the word. Okay. For there shall come a time when they will not tolerate sound doctrine. Now remember, you go back to WCG. Okay. And the doctrines, as long as they were from the Bible, were true and righteous and good. They should have taught more of the love of God. They should have taught about the grace of God. And that would have opened up their understanding to more in the Bible, but they didn't, okay? So people were in a position where then they felt religiously oppressed by the hierarchy. Now, God doesn't want that. God wants you in a personal relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And the ministry is to be here to support and teach and uplift and encourage and to strengthen so that we won't get carried away with things like that. All right? Will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their lusts, to feel good, to be happy. Now, hold your place here and come back to Ephesians, the second chapter. And let me relate to you an email. I won't tell you all about it. But one of the leading proponents of abortion, to demonstrate how easy it was to have an abortion, had it photographed, videoed, and put online to show people, to show the women, that this is really no big deal. That's how far we have gone. Okay? Lusts. All right? Verse 1, Ephesians 2. Now you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you walked in times past according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience, those who go against the word of God. Okay? Now, not only going against the word of God, you graduate through the ranks until you come to the point of worshiping Satan and doing his bidding and showing how good his way is to other people. And as I mentioned here, this is the gentleness of Satan's way to deceive you, just like a pickpocket, shaking your hand and telling you what a wonderful person you are while he picks your pocket, kisses you, thanks you, and walks away with all your money. Okay? Now, notice what it says in verse 3. Among whom also we all once had our conduct in the lust of the flesh. Lusts, feelings. How many people say, well, I feel this, I feel that, I feel the other thing. How many say, what are the facts? What is the truth? What should we understand? No, they base their belief on relations with human beings. Let's go on. Lust of our flesh, doing the things willed by the flesh and by the mind. And the mind is what? Deceitful. Lying, okay? Who's the father of lies? And who's going to put the joy of doing lies into the hearts and minds of people but Satan the devil? And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. Then it shows that God's calling is special, okay? Now back here to verse 4, 2 Timothy 4. They shall turn away their ears from hearing the truth. There wasn't one word about the real truth of God. Manipulating, using, twisting, misrepresenting. And they shall be turned aside unto myths. And that's exactly what Roman Catholicism is and the religions of the world are. They are myths. So if we don't talk about doctrine, remember it was, we are saved by grace alone. Did you catch the hook at the end of that? And that was so you could do good works. All the sacraments of the Roman Church are good works, correct? To them? Yes, indeed. So the Catholics didn't change a thing. And in signing that agreement, what does that agreement have to do with the God of truth? Nothing. All right, let's look at a couple of other things here. Now, let's come back to the book of Proverbs. And I couldn't help but think of this when I saw it. I was stunned. Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. And verse 23, Proverbs 26 and verse 23. This is something. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a broken piece of pottery with silver dross. He who hates and disguises it with his lips stores up deceit within himself. When he makes his voice gracious, do not believe him, for seven hateful things are in his heart. For whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be revealed before the congregation. Now you see, unless you are grounded in the scriptures, you would think this is a wonderful thing. You would think that after 500 years of fighting and haranguing and killing each other, that now unity would be a wonderful thing. But it's not. Let's ask another question. Where do we find this in prophecy? All right, let's come back to Revelation 6. We'll look at some things in the book of Revelation. Okay? Revelation 6. Now, we know that these are end-time prophecies. We don't know exactly when the first seal was opened. I'll talk about that in a minute. But as we will see, that this has to do with conquest religiously. Verse 1, Revelation 6. And I looked when the Lamb opened one of the seals and heard one of the four living creatures say with the sound of thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, there was a white horse. And the one who was sitting on him had a bow. But it doesn't say arrows. Some people think that's Christ. No, this is the false Christ. Or this is the papacy, conquest by religion. And I couldn't help but think of that when I saw the Pope dressed in white. Did he use a bow? Yes, the bow of words, but no arrows. Was he conquering? Yes, he was. That whole group fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. And a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Now, is this the end time understanding of this verse, what we just saw? So we look back at the recent Catholic history, and it was in the 1960s that Pope John Paul XXIII, who was recently so-called made a saint, he was the one who started the ecumenical movement. And when it started, clear back then, 40 years ago, the Protestants all shucked the ecumenical movement, but gradually, incrementally, that's Satan's way, incrementally, and then when you've gained force, then you have the vast movement. They all backed away from it. Some didn't. So was that when the first seal was opened? I don't know. But that started something, didn't it? Yes, it did. How about with John Paul II? Okay, he furthered it along, did he not? Yes, he did. Yes, he did, because that agreement that was signed by the Lutherans and the Catholics was the work of Cardinal Ratzinger, who was the German, who became Pope Benedict XVI. He worked that up, and they signed it. When the Vatican signs a document, that means they have won the upper hand. They never surrender. And if you read Rome's challenge to the Protestants, the gauntlet concerning Sunday, supposedly in the Bible, was thrown down to the Protestants that it wasn't so. And the Protestants never did anything to keep the Sabbath. And the warning was there, if you will read it. The one who wrote it under the supervision of Cardinal Gibbon, the only cardinal at that time in the U.S. And they told the Protestants, if you do not come back to Rome and renounce that Sunday keeping is in the Bible and that only the Sabbath is what is taught there, we will come upon you at a time you will not know in all of our ancient arrogance. I think we saw some of it, didn't we? Okay? Now then, let's come over here to Revelation 13. We know that Satan is deceiving the whole world, and the false prophets look like the real thing. They use the Bible, they use the Word of God for their own benefit. That's demonic. That is satanic. The Bible is God's tool to teach us to become like Him. Okay? Now, we have covered this before, but verse 2 says, the dragon gave to the beast his power and his throne and his authority. Verse 3 says, after the wound was healed, the whole world was amazed and followed the beast, and they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. Now stop and think about it. How many people on earth really worship the true God? Now there are some people who like to acknowledge God, but to worship God is another whole thing. Not very many. That's why Jesus said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find the true faith in the earth? And what happened to the church we were in, WCG? They incorporated the teachings of men instead of the teachings of the Word of God. Okay? Now, come back here to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And let's see what happened there. Let's see what happened in any Church of God or Seventh-day Adventists that are overrun, how shall I put it, infiltrated to a large degree with Jesuit imposters. And they definitely did that. 2 Corinthians 11, if I said 13, that's the wrong chapter. Okay. Go back two chapters. Now then, Paul talks about it in the second chapter about those who use the Word of God deceitfully. Let's go back and look at that first, because that sets the stage for what is happening here, okay? Let's pick it up here in verse 17. For we are not like the many. Now, I want you to understand what was going on at that time. There were lots and lots and lots and lots of false prophets. And without rapid communication, they could just proliferate everywhere. Okay? Verse 17. For we are not like the many who for their own profit are corrupting the Word of God. That's exactly what the Pope was doing in using the Word of God. That's exactly what Tony Palmer was doing in using the Word of God. That's exactly what Kenneth Copeland was doing with the Word of God. Their own profit. But we speak with sincerity as from God and before God and in Christ. Now then, chapter 4 and verse 4 says that the God of this age has blinded their minds. Now, chapter 11. This has happened in the churches of God back then, down through history, and in our time. So he starts out. Look at what he had to fight. And this is for us so that we know what we are up against today. Verse 1. I would that you might bear with me in a little nonsense, but indeed do bear with me. For I am jealous over you with the jealousy of God, because I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means as the serpent deceived Eve. And I imagine Eve just felt wonderful after taking that first bite. And Adam, right there, ate it too. See? Verse 4. Yes, corrupted from the simplicity of Christ. For indeed, if someone comes preaching another Jesus, that's what Protestantism does, and that's what Catholicism does, whom we did not preach, or you have received a different spirit, which you did not receive. Now, we saw a different spirit working there, didn't we? Yes, indeed. Or a different gospel. And we saw that and heard that too, didn't we? Which you did not accept. You put up with it as something good. Oh, let's hear all sides of it. But I consider myself in no way inferior to these highly exalted so-called apostles. Then he says, for though I may be unpolished in speech, yet I am not in knowledge, for in all things I've demonstrated this to you. Now come down here to verse 13. And I think we saw that again today. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And it is no marvel, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing as if his servants are also transform themselves as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. Now, this is going to look like one of the greatest things to ever come along. So we'll have to see where it comes from. Now, let's come back here to Revelation 13 again. Revelation 13, verse 11. I saw another beast rising out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but spoke like a dragon. I think we saw that, didn't we? He exercises all the authority of the first beast before him and causes the earth and those who dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. That is yet ahead of us. Come over here to Revelation 17. And let's see, this is talking about the end time. Now, when it talks about Babylon the Great, that means the fullness of it spread worldwide. Now, verse 1, Revelation 17. And one of the seven angels who had the seven vials came and spoke with me, saying, come here, and I will show you the judgment of the great whore, who sits upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Now that is spiritual fornication, that is, instead of having a relationship with the true God, it's with Satan the devil. And those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So you have the kings of the earth, it's political. You have the people of the earth, they've drunk of it. Okay? Now, let's come over here for just a minute. Let's come to verse 15. Then we'll come back and read some more. Then he said to me, the waters that you saw where the whore sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and languages. And we live at a time when this is going to come to the full. But the ten horns that you saw on the beast shall hate the whore, shall make her desolate and naked, and eat her flesh, and shall burn her with fire. Now that's just before Christ returns. They're going to turn against it and understand that they have been deceived. But notice verse 17. I think we just saw this happen. Not only as it applies to the ten kings, okay, but to all of those who agree with the satanic system of this world. See? For God has put it into their hearts to do his will. If someone wants evil, he will give them over to it, and to act with one accord, and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God have been fulfilled. Now that's something. This, we're looking at big things to happen. Greater things than we have ever imagined. And I think once this thing really gets going and more of the Protestant churches begin to fall in line, guess who's next? The churches of God. Now look at this. Verse 18 describes it all. And the woman whom you saw in the great city that has royal power over the kings of the earth. What one church has that? The Vatican. They have over 130 ambassadors from 130 different countries that interface with the Vatican. Now, I'll just make another little thing we can say will be kind of a prediction. What would be the most miraculous thing that a peacekeeping pope could do besides bring back the Protestants? Broker a peace treaty between Israel and the Arabs? Well, that's on the target, but that's not it. And the world would hail this as a marvelous and wonderful thing from God. Muslims, you got it. The Muslims get together, the Muslim leaders get together, and they have a little conference like this. Same setting, same kind of thing, and that God, Allah, is appealing to you now. That you stop all your killing of other people. That you lay down your arm. You stop all your terror works. Who would say that that was not a good thing? Everyone said, wonderful, miraculous. So I stuck my neck out, so I'm going to ring my cowbell. Okay. But something like that has to happen in order for other prophecies to be fulfilled. And when that happens, they're going to say, surely this is of God. How soon after that will the beast power, the coming world dictator, come on the scene? We don't know. But I think in the book of Revelation, we are told about some of the greatest events that are going to transpire before the return of Jesus Christ. And I think we've had a foretaste of it here. And I think we can say that yes, after witnessing this, that the first seal has probably been opened. Now notice it doesn't tell us how long a time that this particular activity takes place in conquering and going forth to conquer. Likewise, we don't know how long it will be until the final beast power comes up. But he will look like a wonder worker. And then a miracle working, calling down fire from heaven pope, people flocking back to the Roman Catholic Church, which at that time will be the one world religion. We accept all of you as you are. We have unity and diversity. And anyone who is against that cannot be from God. So that tells us lots of things. I hope that you learned something from it. I did, and I have not been able to get it out of my mind since I first saw it. And this will take probably two or three more real close listening to really get the whole message of it. But anyway, we'll keep you as up to date on this as we can. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.